Lori, we are back for another week of the Travel Vertical podcast. How are you doing?
Oh, great. There's a lot of stuff going on out there, Adam.
It is busy, busy. And I know that once we release this episode, we'll be in the middle of eTourism Summit. Can't wait for that event.
I know, Las Vegas. Nobody believes I'm going to Las Vegas on business, you know?
Yeah, everybody thinks it's for fun. Well, my parents live down there. So when I say I'm going to Vegas, it even sounds less exciting for other people than it does when you say you're going for a conference, because I go stay with my parents and get off the strip.
Well, I don't know why you say that. I mean, it's terribly exciting to be indoors all day in a convention center, no matter where we are. Right?
right. Absolutely. And it's going to be nice and hot down there. And so it'll be nice to be in that air-conditioned conference center.
Really? I mean, here in San Francisco, hot is about 61 degrees.
Oh, man.
That's our summer.
Well, it'll be a little warmer than that in Vegas.
Really? Okay. Thanks for warning me.
Well, Lori, like you said, there's a lot going on. In fact, in preparation for eTourism Summit and everything, everybody's kind of getting ready to travel. So we don't have a guest today, but we've got a lot of industry news to talk about. Tell me what's kind of on the top of your mind right now that you want to lead with today.
Billionaires.
I like billionaires. I'd love to meet one and maybe see if I could get him or her to share with me a little bit.
So, you know, the thing that struck me is that everyone I talk to is really proud of promoting their destination. Everybody's got great things to say, and that's all good. But there's this billionaire whose name is, let me check, Mark Lore. I'm not sure if you say it like that, M-A-R-C, Mark, and L-O-R-E, Lore, but maybe it's Lori. I don't know. Anyway, this guy, he's decided that none of these places are nice, and he wants to build an urban utopia. To be situated somewhere in the desert in the USA, he wants to build a new city and have it populated by 5 million people over the next 40 years. Have you heard about that?
I have not heard of that. I know you mentioned it in our prep, and I was kind of shocked because he hasn't even narrowed it down to a state or anything like that. He's still working on the location.
That's right. He's going to build a city from scratch. It has a name. It has a logo. So he's got a vision. You know, he's real good on those foundational things. He just doesn't know where.
Well, what's the name?
Oh, it's called Telosa.
It's Telosa.
Yeah, with a T-E-L-O-S-A. And you can look that up. I mean, you can click on his website, which I provided here in the Travel Vertical. Telosa it's got Greek origins, and, you know, it's got something to do with being, you know, high on a hill in the best place ever and utopia, simply.
Well, when I was a kid, Lori, my dad went to the University of Alabama to get his graduate degree, and so we lived in Tuscaloosa. And Telosa, in my mind, sounds like an abbreviated version of Tuscaloosa.
That's right. Don't tell Chattanooga.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so let's talk about this, because I would imagine what we're going to end up with is, if his plan is solid, right? If it looks like he really is going to be able to accomplish this goal, are we going to have state economic development organizations and, you know, even tourism departments kind of clamoring to get this community within their state?
Well, they're going to have to pay for it if that's the case, but I mean, from a resident point of view, you and me, it sure seems like a lot easier place to go than Mars. So,
yes,
you know,
it does.
When it comes down to billionaires, I'd rather live in Telosa, you know, than to go off on Elon Musk's idea, because, I mean, that seems a bit barren, doesn't it?
Yeah, that seems a bit barren. And I would definitely prefer Telosa, even though I don't know much about it. I'd prefer that to Mars. But I guess my question is about this. What was the guy's name again, the billionaire that's doing this?
You just call him Mark.
Mark. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Mark Lore. That's right. I remember the spelling now. Mark. What's his background? I mean, sure, he has a lot of money. Is he capable of doing something like this?
He's smiling in his profile photo, so I guess he's capable.
Optimism.
Yeah, but you got to know, it's the funniest thing, because I never heard of this guy before. Sorry, Mark. His background is connected to diapers.com.
Okay.
Okay.
So from diapers to utopia, that seems like a very simple bridge to build.
You know, it all concerns people and the future, right?
That's right.
And babies go through a lot of diapers. So he ended up selling diapers.com to Amazon. But he also had another startup, and it was called Jet, like, you know, in the air, Jet, but it had to do with e-commerce, Jet.com. He sold Jet.com to Walmart. And then, cleverly, I guess, since I think he likes to work hard, he becomes the president and CEO of Walmart after having made that sale for some billions of dollars. So from 2016 until this year, he was the president of Walmart.
Okay, I guess I should know who he is.
Well, I didn't, you know, but he seems to be a hardworking guy.
Yeah.
Who's, you know, now, he's got this idea, but mind you, he's not going to spend his money on building it. You know, maybe Nevada, Utah, Idaho, Arizona, Texas are on the list. And he's also looking at the Appalachian region. I mean, just look at his website and you'll get the vision.
Okay, I'm going to go check it out. And everybody listening should too.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Well, okay, so we've started with billionaires, Lori. I guess the only way to go now is down, because billionaires are kind of at the top of the food chain. So what else are you seeing in the industry other than this utopia that's being planned?
Well, it's interesting that you said going down, because, you know, that's what you do if you're at Squaw Valley. And Squaw Valley, the famous ski resort that had, you know, the Olympics in the winter, is 72 years old, but of course has been debating for some time whether or not the word squaw is appropriate. So for the last year or so, ever since the George Floyd killing, they have seriously sat down and they've consulted with tribal leaders, among others. And they announced only this week that they finally have decided what the new name is.
Oh, well, I'm on pins and needles. What is it?
You better stay on pins and needles. You know, it's actually, I don't know what I think about it. It's Palisades Tahoe.
Palisades Tahoe.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
Was there much information about, you know, how they landed there or maybe the rationale behind it? Now, I do like that the name Tahoe is in it, because Squaw Valley, it was very difficult to know where that is unless you're already familiar with it. So Palisades Tahoe, I do see some value in that. And it actually was a Utah agency that did that rebrand, if I remember correctly, called Struck. So I like the logic behind that part of the name. I'd love to understand the Palisades portion.
Yeah, me too. But I guess Squaw Valley Resort is in more than one state. Is that right?
Excellent question. I'm not entirely sure.
Okay, anyway, it's in California, but it might actually be one of those ones where if you go down one way, you're in Nevada. If you go down, you know, like heavenly.
Okay.
So I'm not sure, but who all sat around the table? I don't know. The only one they mentioned are the tribal leaders. You know, this was picked up by every newswire. You can imagine the same thing with Tolosa. So I've read a lot of stories before I wrote my own. And the one quote that I decided to include in my recap is from the San Francisco Chronicle, who said something interesting. They said that as this squaw not only adorns the ski resort, but it adorns the local mountain, the creek, lots of businesses, street signs, a park, a firehouse in the area. You know, the changes that must flow from the change that they have made affect how future generations are going to view the entire valley. So it's more than just renaming your ski resort. There's a huge knock-on effect.
That's interesting. I need to read that article. I think there's a lot more to learn there.
Yeah. So I thought that caught my eye. Shall I keep talking about places? Because we have to get to jobs as well.
Well, let's bounce to the other side of the country, because I know there's another interesting change that's been made that I wanted to talk about.
Well, there's a change made in the Greater Palm Springs Convention and Visitors Bureau, who changed their name to a simpler Visit Greater Palm Springs, but that's not across the country. Which one do you mean?
Oh, Connecticut. I guess that they're not changing their name, but they've got a new campaign that I thought would be fun to talk about.
They do, and I was critical of it in a nice way, because Full Color Connecticut. Okay, that's it, Full Color. And it's an up on the budget now, $1.4 million, to talk about fall full color in Connecticut. So the governor announced that, and he said, you know, we're going to have people come and look at the leaves, but we're going to link through November 20th, we're going to link that campaign to all the cool things that there are to do in Connecticut, you know, covered bridges and historic sites and whatever. But I'm curious, because they're targeting to New York State, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut itself, and nearby Philadelphia. You know, that's their drive market. It's a huge drive market. They're aiming to reach 33% of those travelers in English and in Spanish. It's all very well thought out, but those people have colored leaves too.
Well, you bring up a valid point. I guess, is there something unique about Connecticut's fall colors? Because, yeah, you're right. Hey, our leaves change colors. Almost every state has that. So what about as you look at the campaign, are they qualifying it in any way? Are they giving you more detail up front as to why their fall colors are the best?
No, I can't say that they are. I just did an interview with Dave Lorenz, who's the vice president of Travel Michigan, and I published that the week prior in the Travel Vertical. I interviewed Dave about their fall campaign, and, you know, that's connected to the fall foliage as well. Michigan is a long way from Connecticut. It's not really a drive market. But when you talk about the drive market of Connecticut, my goodness, you know, Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., the metro area is ginormous, but it's New England. Everybody's got fall foliage. Anyway, I wasn't at the table when they decided.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fascinating to watch the performance of that campaign over time and see if that was enough to move the needle, or if the hypothesis that you and I are discussing, it makes sense that man, it would be nice to have a qualifier of why that matters to those visitors in the drive markets.
Maybe there is, Adam, but the thing is, you know, you don't get that by driving past a billboard.
That's right.
You know, so the next one, just back to the West Coast, just for a quick moment. Visit California is so fun. Their new campaign, of course, is about Californians staying in California. But what I thought was so fun about it—
Is this for staycations or for not moving out of California? I just want to make sure I understand that correctly.
Oh, I hate that word, staycations. California is a pretty big state, you know?
That's right.
But anyway, it's clever because it shows a guy sitting around a pool drinking his cocktail with a hat pulled down over his eyes and sunglasses and his tropical shirt on. And then it shows a couple who's, you know, toasting one another with a glass of champagne in the wine country. And the whole campaign is based around, look at these people having a brilliant, fun time. They're on vacation. But guess what? They're working hard to support the local tourism economy. So it's very cheekily presented in a couple of quick YouTube videos, calling all Californians to the pool.
Oh, I like it.
It's cute.
Yeah, I'll have to check out those videos, and we can see those in the Travel Vertical this week, right? To click on those videos?
Yeah, you can click on one of them if you want to go further. Just, you know, look for the other one. I only could see two of them that were presented in a seminar last week at Visit California, but I found one on YouTube, and so I put it up.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Well, I know that we want to get to the best cities from Travel and Leisure as well. What did you find interesting with that best cities report?
Nothing. Because Charleston won again.
So nothing new.
Right. Not unless you want to go back more than 10 years. Charleston seems to pull that out every year. It's, of course, the readers who are talking about their favorite places. And it's been going on for 26 years, this survey. So it gets a lot of attention. So I've listed out the top 15 cities. And if you want to know, 1, 2, 3, 4, it's Charleston, Santa Fe, Savannah, New Orleans, New York City.
Okay. I've been to four of them. And so I've got to check off the, what was it you said? Oh, Santa Fe. I haven't been to Santa Fe. That's the one that I'm missing. I got to get there.
Okay. At least you've been to New York City.
Yes. Before the pandemic.
They also have a new category. They have parks, national parks. That's their new category in the survey. Who do you think was the winner on that?
Ooh, good question. Probably Yellowstone, if I had to guess.
That's correct. I get it mixed up with Yosemite because they both start with a Y. But, yeah. Yep, it was Yellowstone. So, of course, the oldest park of them all.
And what else? What other parks kind of came in the next places? We've got five of them here in Utah, so I'm curious.
I don't know, because I'm not looking at the list and I didn't publish it. So you'll have to click on Travel and Leisure, but I did provide the link. What I did say is Yellowstone. Well, that's in three states. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Wyoming, Montana, Idaho. So everybody gets a bit of Yellowstone.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. Well, anybody that's listening, click on the link and you can see what the other national parks were that ranked there.
That's right. Yeah, there's so much good stuff this week about places from, you know, a new transparent platform on top of a brand new skyscraper in New York City where you can, you know, hang out on a glass deck and freak out, which I'm not going to do. They're selling tickets now, so it's going to open in a month. And Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade is going to come back.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean, I know that we're still trying to navigate this pandemic, but it's nice to see that American staple come back. I really love the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah, you and me both, and half the world. So, anyway, you know what? If we move over to jobs and people, we got some things to talk about there as well.
Let's do it.
And also, I want to ask you, Adam, because I got an email about your new website. About podcasts, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad you brought it up. So this podcast, the Travel Vertical Podcast, is part of a podcast network called the Destination Marketing Podcast Network that, of course, all started with my podcast that I started in 2019, the Destination Marketing Podcast. We now have 10 podcasts in that podcast network, and we just launched our website for the podcast network where people can learn. We've got podcasts for DMOs, and we've got podcasts by DMOs in the network. We've got places where you can learn about how to start a podcast for your destination, and also, you know, if you've got valuable information that destinations need to hear. We are trying to build out a podcast for every job title within the destination so that we can educate all parties within a DMO. So,
oh, brilliant idea.
Really, really excited about the podcast network. The website is TheDMPN, which stands for the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. So TheDMPN.com.
Thanks, Adam. I'm going to look at that. I think, you know, hey, it's another medium and we haven't exploited it properly. So I know you're going to get on the stage at the eTourism Summit next week and talk about that some more so that more of the destinations can take advantage of the idea of, you know, owning their own content, right?
Yeah, Lori, I'm really passionate about audio, obviously, as a format, hosting multiple podcasts. The ability to passively consume content and multitask while you're learning, that's really unique to audio and not something that any other medium has been able to accomplish. And so I think that's definitely where we're going as an industry, is when time is your most valuable asset, the ability to consume content and do something else at the same time, really unique. And so I see that. I think it'll continue to snowball over time. And I'm excited to kind of be on the forefront of it for the tourism industry.
Excellent. I agree.
Talk jobs.
Yeah, let's talk. I mean, that's the basic of a podcast, isn't it?
Let's talk.
We should have call in in the future on our podcast and see what people have to say.
I would love that.
Jobs. Okay, jobs. I mean, well, the week before last, I think there were 189 jobs. This week, I tried to focus on ones that were brand new because some of the ones we're seeing are, you know, we see them for weeks in a row.
Yeah.
But this morning, bright and early, I had a press release sent to me by a PR that handles a few DMOs. And so we've got an announcement. I mean, it's breaking news. It's about 1 hour old. But Kim Sidoriak, who's been chief marketing officer at Santa Monica Travel and Tourism in California, has been there for 14 years. And I noticed on LinkedIn a few days ago that she was leaving. But when I contacted her, she said, give me a minute because I want to be able to announce where I'm going. So,
okay.
Yeah, that was the announcement that I got this morning via press release.
So I know Kim. She's been on my other show, the Destination Marketing Podcast, and man, she is really sharp. And so that's somewhat of a loss for Santa Monica, because I think she's done a great job there.
Well, you know, you can look at it that way, but also the other way I look at it is, hey, there's a job opening.
Yeah, coming, yep, you know? Exactly.
And that will probably appear on our pages pretty soon. But meantime, there's another job which has sort of disappeared off our pages over the last couple of weeks, which is the president and CEO of Visit Carlsbad.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, you know, put two and two together, Adam.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's where Kim is headed. So we have another young woman, you know, who's got a long and robust background moving from CMO to CEO. So we've seen this before, the move from CMO to CEO. We saw it with our friend Cara Franker, who was on our show.
Right.
And you know, she moved from Visit Lauderdale in Florida to CEO at Visit Estes Park in Colorado.
Yep.
So here we go again. So this is interesting. I don't know that two makes a trend, but it's interesting to see women, you know, do this, move from marketing to CEO.
I like seeing the move. I think the CMO role is a great preparatory opportunities before you become CEO. I think it's a great last stop before you get in that CEO role. It's a great training ground.
You know, we've talked about that briefly when we spoke with Cara, I think, because when I was vice president of tourism at the New York City Convention and Visitors Bureau, There was no chief marketing officer. There was no vice president of marketing. There was no internet, frankly. So that never happened. You know, the path was always to move from sales, to move from vice president of conventions into the CEO role. Because if you didn't know the meeting planners and the association executives, you weren't quite there. You weren't ready. So that's been a change. You're right. Big change.
Yeah. I think we'll see that continue. I think you're right.
Digital, baby, is where it's at.
That's right. Well, before we wrap up, Lori, let's do kind of a rapid fire on the other destinations that have openings that you wanted to highlight.
Okay. So staying on the beautiful coast up and down the Pacific here in California, there's a new one, which is Visit Dana Point. If you've never been to Dana Point, it's like major whale watching. Unbelievable.
So Dana Point, it's kind of interesting. They were one of our destinations that were set up to be in the pilot program for the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. And unfortunately, when COVID hit, they were unable to move forward. So exciting to see them being able to kind of get back into the thick of things here.
You will speak with the new executive director when they find one, because that listing's only a few days old.
Okay.
There's a new listing from Visit Milwaukee, Vice President of Marketing and Communications. So that's a big role in a big city for the right person. And we recently announced, I think it was last week, that Lisa from Visit Oakland was making a change to the private sector. And she was the head of marketing at Visit Oakland. So there is now an opening for director of marketing. That was Lisa's role at Visit Oakland, where there's also, you know, a new president and CEO who's been in the job now for a month.
Yeah.
So lots of things going on in Oakland. And we also have one of the emerging tourism stars who will be at eTourism Summit. One of the seven that we've interviewed in the travel vertical is, in fact, also from Visit Oakland. There's an opening for a social media manager at Visit Denver. And that's no surprise, because if you follow the travel vertical, you'll see that the woman in that role recently announced her departure to go and be the social media manager over at Meow Wolf, the attraction.
Okay.
Yep. We've got a role for a director of strategic communications in Galveston, if you love the Gulf. And also from Visit Albuquerque in New Mexico, on the sales side, senior national sales manager. So those are six of the brand new roles among the 100 plus that we've listed this week in the travel vertical.
You know, every week there's great opportunities that are popping up here in the industry.
Yeah. And I was just going to say, Adam, we hope that, you know, people don't just look at that and say, well, I don't want that job. I mean, we hope people look at that and say, who do I know that might want that job? I should share this. I mean, this is a free service. We list these things and we keep up with them. And, you know, we put them out there in the hope that we're helping the industry move forward more quickly.
Yeah. And I would add one more thing to that. And I know for sure, if you see a job that's interesting, share it for sure. But I think we have a real problem in the industry with imposter syndrome, where somebody will look at a job title and say, you know what, I'm not qualified for that yet. And the reality is, until you jump into that new role, you won't be entirely ready, because there's things that you can't learn unless you're learning it in the new role. So I'd love to see the people that are listening to our show as well. If you think you might qualify for one of these roles that would be a big step up in your career, take the chance, apply. What bad could happen if you do that?
No bad can happen. You know, all interviews are a learning process. And as I guess it was Steve Jobs or someone who said, you know, skills can be learned. And, you know, character is another thing. You've either got it or you haven't got it.
Right.
So if you go for it, that says something about your character, doesn't it?
It does. Well, Lori, another great episode here of the Travel Vertical Podcast. I'm really excited to get together in person in Vegas next week. And I know that we'll be in the middle of that conference when this show releases. But this is going to be a wonderful event.
Yes, it's the 22nd. So, you know, I could tell you a lot of fun facts. In fact, I probably will tell you a lot of fun facts in the future about, you know, where we were on digital marketing in the year 2000. And of course, Mark Zuckerberg was still in high school. But that'd be fun. I've gathered up some facts about what it really looked like in 2000 and compare that to where we are now.
Oh, that would be so fun. I mean, as I think about this, we ought to, in one of these days on our show, just tell the story of the history of eTourism Summit, because, I mean, it's become such an amazing event in the industry, and I know it took a lot of work to get there. So anyway, excited for that event, Lori, and excited to see you there.
Same. Looking forward to it. See you soon, Vegas.
All right. And thank you, Lori, and thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you in Vegas.
Ciao.